So if you think your circumstances are bad, there's always somebody worse off. Amen. I remember those stories back in the, in the 80s when, communism was still like a viable option for the sort of democratic nations. And they were always talking about the redistribution of wealth, that wealth needed to be redistributed and stuff like that. And, it sounds great, but it's kind of flawed. Because the same guys who are wealthy now, if you took all their wealth off them, in 30 years, they'd have it back. Do you remember people got sent out from Kenya and Uganda? Do you remember that? There were multiplied millions of Asian people who were sent away from Kenya and Uganda into, in fact, a lot of them own businesses around here in the Wembley area. And some of them, they came to London with nothing. They had absolutely nothing. And now many of them are like multimillionaires. There's one or two billionaires among that community. Landed with nothing. Right. Reminds me of Peter Azan. Everyone knows Peter. And he said, Pastor Paul, when I came to London, he came from Ibadan in Nigeria. He said, Pastor P, when I came to London, he said, I only had two trousers. That was it. You imagine you land at Heathrow Airport and in your bag, your travel bag, is two pairs of trousers. And one of them, he said, is homemade. I made it myself. I said, hey. Now, that guy, now he's a plumbing contractor, and one of the contracts he's got is for Harrods. Isn't that amazing? Blessed. Blessed. No matter where life puts you, you can always rise with God on your side. Can you say amen? I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse number 13. He says, therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. What a powerful, powerful piece of scripture. As I was praying out for this morning's message, I heard the Lord just continually repeat to me the importance of being baptized in love. Being baptized in love. So we could say number one, was that believe God is on your side. Do you remember that message? God is not your problem. Many people believe that God is their problem. Number two in this series, we would say receive a baptism of love. Amen. There's nothing like the love of God. Yes. Nothing like the love of God. And the thing is that the love of God is such that you have to believe it. Right. You have to believe he loves you. I love, we've got some visitors from Dubai this morning. Could you clap for them? They came a long way to church this morning. And how many of you know Pastor Dil Kumar's ministry when he visited here? That was wonderful. And you know, one of his absolutely staple messages is, he loves you. He loves you. He loves every one of you, he says. And It's such a part of his message, it's such a part of his life, that even when you phone up his mobile phone, I've got his mobile number because of, arrangements and stuff like that. Even when you call his number, he has a 3-minute message on his voicemail before you can leave a message. And it starts, he loves you. He loves every one of you. And you know, it goes on about the love of Jesus and the blessing of Jesus. Why? It's part of his DNA. May the love of God be part of your DNA today in Jesus' name. I've heard so many stories, people who have just like folded up and quit. You know, you hear, oh, how's such and such doing? Oh, well, he's kind of, well, he's backslid. Oh, well, he's not going on with God. And I prayed about this. I said, Lord, what is the situation with such individuals that they'll get halfway and quit? Do you remember I was talking about half-built houses in a previous message? And it's like, I said to the Lord once, I said, what's the situation there? He said, well, they've never been fully baptized in my love. Wow. And the Bible says it. We just read it. Verse number 17 of Ephesians 3. It says there, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Look at this. And you being rooted and grounded in love. Have you ever tried to pull up even a small little tree, even like about this high, when you do your gardening? When I moved into our old house up in St. Albans, our garden was a bit of a mess. It was kind of a hodgepodge of all sorts of bushes, thorn bushes, all kinds of stuff. You know, you shouldn't have around a toddler who's toddling in the garden. You can't have like thorn bushes and everything like that. So this bush was about this high. I thought, you know what? I'll have that up in about 10 minutes, chuck it on the fire. Like 3 days later, I was still hacking away at the thing. Why? Because it was rooted. It was grounded. Or we would say in another scripture, it talks about being steadfast and immovable. And that's the kind of level that we have to get with God, that we are rooted and grounded in love. Lord, no matter, I'm rooted, I'm grounded in your love. It doesn't matter. You know, the storms of life will come. Jesus said it himself. The storms of life came. The rain comes down from above. The winds sweep from the side. The floods come up from underneath. But the house that is built on the rock, the house, we would say, that is rooted and grounded, is the house that manages to get through. And not only that, but you know, the house that survives the storm becomes the center of accommodation for the ones that didn't. Right. Yes. Hallelujah. So there's a purpose in this. There's something about the love of Jesus that when you receive that baptism of love, when love becomes a motivator, it becomes a driver. I want people to succeed. Why have I given my life to ministry? I was earning nearly as much as I am today from pastoring this church as I was 20, wow, how long ago now? 96, October 96. Any mathematicians? So 2016, that will be 20 years in 2 years' time, 20 years next year. Wow. That I gave up my job as an executive for one of the big four banks in London. Doing fine, fine and dandy, company car, laptop, mobile phone, holidays, I mean, you name it. But there was a motivator. There was something that God had inserted on the inside of me that was a bigger motivator than just being happy and financially blessed.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And it's that kind of thing that when you're baptized in love, there's something about me that wants to see people succeed. I want to see you do well. It's the same prayer that the Holy Spirit prayed through John in 3 John and the second verse. Do you remember he says, beloved? Now, this is the Holy Spirit praying, right? The Bible says that all scripture is inspired by God. Literally, God breathed. So this isn't just John sitting there thinking, you know what, I've got to write to these guys. What do I say? This is the Holy Spirit speaking through John. In 3rd letter of John, 2nd verse, he says, beloved, what a great place to start.
Yes.
May be baptized afresh in love today under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. He says, beloved, I pray above all things. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. But he starts by calling you beloved. How could you receive the other two? How could you receive health and prosperity from God if you didn't believe that what you were beloved? Hallelujah. How many of you've got children and you like to see your children sick? You see little Johnny coming back with snot running down one nostril and snot running down the other nostril. And he's cold, he's been out playing, and it's like, you know what, I don't feel too good. You say, ah, wonderful. Praise God. Can I have some medication, Daddy? No, 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 sweat it out there, son. Suck it up. No way. absolutely no way. How many of you, you've got children and you just want to see them get their house repossessed? Huh? That's perverse, right? Well, if you therefore being evil, Jesus said, do you remember that? If you therefore being evil want to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? I heard one guy preach it this way. He said, how much more? Much more. I like that. Yes. Praise God. Do you know the delight that God gets when we do well? Yes. Do you know the delight he gets? The Bible says it in the book of Psalms. It talks about he delights in the prosperity of his servants. Yes. Not just kind of like, they did well. Well, if they do well, fine. If they don't do well, fine. He's not that kind of God. No, the Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Delights. Somebody did a root study on that Hebrew word about delights. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Do you know what it literally means? That God, he stands up, he spins around, he does a little dance, and then he sits back down. Yeah. That God would stand. So much does he want us to do well. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. And that's why he writes in the book of Romans, chapter 8, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Shall trial or persecution, tribulation or distress stand against us? No way. He said, in these things, he says, we overwhelmingly conquer. That's like a TKO. Anyone seen that fight on YouTube? You can look it up. There's a guy called Giorgio Andrews. He comes to Harvest occasionally when he can. He's the world two-time champion kickboxer, double belt. Is that right, Junior? He's double world kickboxing champion. Knocked out the American guy, I think it was like 46 seconds or something like that. And kickboxing is a terrible thing. But he overwhelmingly conquered. I said, Giorgio, now that you've, you know, made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, are you going to continue this thing? He says, well, Pastor PR, I'll hit them in love. I said, wow, praise God. Praise God. There's something about believing the love of God. Believing the love of God. I believe the love of my Heavenly Father. You know when you're about to take a big step in something and you weigh up the odds of that thing coming to pass? I remember the first time that I bought property. Can you imagine a 3-bedroom flat in Bounds Green, North London, for £66,500? That was the first ever property I bought. I mean, you can't get a garage for that now. In fact, somebody sold a garage for £500,000 in Chelsea a couple of weeks back. A garage. £500,000. Hey. Now, I remember taking that step because back then, that was the first ever property that I bought. Do you remember that? We were standing up in the sitting room in this flat in Bounds Green. And I remember I had my leg back against the wall like that. And I'm tapping my feet and I'm thinking, 66,000 quid. That's a big step. I felt a bead of sweat as I live and breathe here today. I felt a bead of sweat gather and run down the back of my leg. 66 grand, that's a car loan nowadays. Do you know what I mean? But like that was so much, that was like, it may as well have been 4.5 million in terms of the size, the epic size of the thing, of the venture that we were getting. And I remember weighing everything up. Do you know what twisted it for me in our direction? Because we could have ended up renting property and thinking, you know, oh no, we need to get a bigger deposit. We need this, we need that, we need the other. The thing that swung it for me was the love of my Heavenly Father. I believed the love. Have I ever seen the love of the Father? No, you can't see love, can you? Do you understand? Yeah. You can feel loved one day and feel that God hates you the next day. So love isn't a feeling. You can't go by feelings. I just had to stand and believe the love of God and say, yes, my God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Ha! And I remember I said, you know what? We're going to do it. That became the gateway to greater things. Because the house after that one that I bought, I didn't even see the place. I just bought it. Stuck Wafa P into it. You know the story, the testimony of how God brought that thing about. I didn't even go and visit the property before I said, yes, I'll buy it. And my word is my bond. Anyone who knows me, that like you just absolutely know that my word is my bond. That's just the way it is. Praise God. Where did that boldness and that strength come from in the area of pushing out into the world of abundance? Where did it come from? It started by believing the love. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, believe the love of God. Believe that he loves you. If you have to, every day, start the day by confessing, Father, I thank you so much that you love me. You know, every one of us should make a daily declaration, right? And every one of us, that declaration needs to be tailor-made. If that's where you have to start, start there. Father, I thank you that you love me. I believe your love. Look at this, 2 Thessalonians. I want you to see this scripture now. When I first read it, I thought, wow, do you know what, God? This seems almost unfair. But I see what God was looking at in terms of the tenderness or the hardness of heart of his people. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse number 10. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. It talks about, he's talking about the end times and people. You know, he says, the lawless one will be revealed in verse 8. The one who's coming is in accord with the working of Satan, etc., etc. And that's the kind of thing that he's looking at. And verse 10, he talks about a separator, something that distinguishes between those who are saved and those who aren't. And it says there, and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So it's not just the truth that you have to receive. Amen. Jesus said it. He said, I'm the way, what? The truth and the life. But there is the love of the truth. There's something. There's the carrier wave that is through and sown into the very DNA of everything that Jesus does. It's a very, very powerful thing to understand. The love of the truth. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 16. 1 John 4 verse 16. 1 John 4, 16, he says, and we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Can you believe that? Is it fathomable to know that God loves you today? Is it fathomable? The guy who created the universe to the extent that, you know, let's have a look. I think light travels around the world at 7 times a second, right? So, but that's the speed of light around the earth today. 7 times a second light travels around the earth, right? Now, you imagine that one light year, a particle of light would take 365 days to reach from one from now until one light year away. And that they've detected planets and stars 460,000 million light years away. That's far. Nudge your neighbor and tell them that's far. Is it fathomable to believe that the God who created such a thing? A friend of mine preached a message once. He said, God's either too big or too small. God, you're too big for my problem. It's terminal cancer. Yeah, people call me sometimes, you know, with stuff on the phone. It's like you can tell by the sound of their voice that their God is too small to cure something like cancer. And then there's other people, God's too big to cure their cancer. Oh, God's got the universe to run. God's got this, he's doing that, he's doing the other. And it's like, you know, there's absolutely no way that God could be bothered with me and my little problem. Why? God's too big. So God's either up there in the roof of the cathedral. I remember my son went to one of those Anglican churches connected to his school when he'd first started school, and they had a harvest festival there in this great big church building. And he walks into this school, and he said, I was holding his hand. He said, "Wow, Daddy." He said, "You know, the church auditorium was there with its grand Victorian looking place and the stained glass windows. And, you know, they've got all names for these kind of things. They've got names for the roof where the, like the top of the inside of the place." And he looked up at this thing and he saw the organ, you know, those great big church organs. And you hear that, and the ground shakes with these organs, you know. And he's walking into this building. He says, "Wow." He said, "Daddy." He said, "This building is even bigger than God." He was just like taken in by the size and the grandeur of this thing. And you could tell he was even worried walking into this place, right? And I just thought, you know what? That's the way that some people look at God. God's either too small or he's too big. Somebody put it this way once. I thought it was so powerful. He said that the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says that heaven is his throne. So 365,000 million light years away, right? Because that's still in the natural heavens, is his throne. And the earth is his, what, footstool, 24,000 mile circumference, I think, something like that, right? I mean, it takes 24 hours for the earth to go back to where it was, traveling at, I don't know how many miles an hour, 1,400 miles an hour or something. The statistics on this are just incredible, and nobody's ever fallen off planet Earth. Isn't that amazing? Like this thing, right now, you're traveling at nearly 1,500 miles an hour. Wow, strap in, folks. And isn't it a comfortable ride? I mean, they've not built an aircraft like that. You know, you're sitting on an aircraft, something. Hey, amazing. And this God who created such a thing, whose throne is the heavens and whose earth is the footstool, could somehow shrink himself to the size of a seed and impregnate the womb of a woman called Mary. It defies knowledge, doesn't it? Now, that's the same kind of thing. You think of the motivator behind that. That's the same motivator that when God says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe," is the exact same motivator. The love of God is the motivator that causes us to lay hands on the sick and to pray for results. It's the same motivator behind the justice that God sometimes, you know, how many of you have just a very strong sense of justice in your life? You like it when justice is done. You know that comes from God? That's one of the unique gifts. And let me encourage you guys, those of you who have that heart for justice, always pray when you find out of a situation where something has been happening that's unjust. Somebody might have gone to jail unjustly. Did you hear the story of this guy, one of the guys I've been praying for a long time, a guy called Krishnan Maharaj. Have you ever heard of him? An Indian, anyone heard of him? You've heard of him, Abina. Yeah, you've heard of him, Ruth. An Indian businessman who was doing some business in Miami, Florida, USA. And a murder happened in the hotel room across from him. It was some Colombian drug dealers, etc. Now, this guy got arrested. An English guy got arrested, put on death row, found guilty, put on death row with no evidence except the evidence of a drug dealer himself who became an informer and basically who wanted. And the guy's been on death row since 1989. Yeah. Krishnan Maharaj's name is. And it's funny, you know, when something happens like that and you get that sense of injustice, it's like God, you know, there's a compassion that rises on the inside of you that can cause you then to lift that prayer to the Lord and to get results. I know God's working on his case. I know it. Why? Because I've prayed. How do you know God's going to hear you, Paolo? Well, he loves me. What am I doing? I'm believing the love. Love is a very, very, very powerful thing. Very powerful. If there's anything that you can be distracted from in life, right, don't ever be distracted from the love of God. And we have known, he says, and believed the love. Look at this. We have come to know and believed the love which God has for us. God is love. In other words, his very DNA is love. I heard this story. Oh, my goodness me. And I nearly cried. In fact, I think I did cry. I think you cried too when you heard it. How many of you know Auntie Rhoda in Harvest? She's on the Encounter right now. You know Auntie Rhoda, she helps run the cafe and she does a lot of the catering for when people visit. We had Apostle Maldonado here back in June, you remember? And it was like all hands on deck. It was like go. There was 30 of them visiting the church, and it was a big ask for us to do it. There was over 1,000 people in this building. I don't even know still today how we fitted them in. And the place was just heaving. In fact, some of you got turned away. Right. Serves you right for showing up late. Anyway. But Pastor Maldonado was there, and Auntie Rhoda was cooking. She'd been cooking since, like, I think 6 a.m., something like that. She had been from the day before. Wow. Now, I don't even know who did this, but there was a couple of people who had already arrived into the church auditorium to help and volunteer and everything like that. Auntie Rhoda was in the kitchen, and she said that the lady who shared this story upstairs a couple of weeks ago, she said that one of the things that touched her so much, she said, I didn't even know that church could be like this. She said that this lady had been cooking and somebody took Auntie Rhoda from the industrial kitchen where she was working and sat her in a place, got a bowl of hot water and just put her feet in the hot water. Who was that? Who did that? It was who? Alero. Mike, you don't know how many hearts you've touched by doing that. Just the love of God. Wow. Absolutely amazing. Sat her down, put her feet in hot water and got her some food and just said, look, now just relax and just enjoy. Now, I think I did burst into tears when I heard that, because such was the... It's the little things of love that are like that. It's the tiny little things. It's funny, you know, and then, like, that's one extreme. The other extreme then is, oh, well, I've been coming to this church for 10 years. Nobody's ever put my feet in hot water. No, but let me tell you, if you carry on with that attitude, I'll put your face in the hot water and then give you a big right foot of fellowship. Hallelujah. Why? Because one is a love explosion and the other one is a love implosion. There was an astrophysicist. This is a true story. There was an astrophysicist who was studying black holes, who was a Christian. And God spoke to him in a night vision. He showed him black holes and what they were. Before they could be determined astrophysically what they were, he'd already had a dream from God about black holes and what they were. And he said that God had showed him that black holes were where a star has imploded. And so great is the implosion that the light from around that area, and you're talking like billions of miles around, gets sucked into this thing and just basically obliterated. And he said this. He said, that's like my people. He said, when they implode and they stop loving and they implode as a result, he said they become one of the most dangerous forces in the realm of physics. Isn't it true? You ever see somebody who got offended? And offenses come. Jesus said it. Offenses will come. The opportunity to get offended will be there. Even this morning, I might spit on you while I'm preaching. I might tread on your toes. There was one guy who fell asleep on the front row. I walked past. I slapped him as we were preaching. It wasn't him. No. Offenses will come. The opportunity to be offended will come. The opportunity to be selfish will come. But you see, the thing is, we never look to the failings of those around us. We look to our own ability. That's what a baptism of love is like. That's what a baptism of love looks like. What does love look like today? And you don't have to be loaded to be a person who walks in love. Amen. You know, you just have to be thinking of other people. Yes. One of the greatest deliverances that people can ever receive is from themselves. Well, poor old me. Have you ever met someone like that? Lord Jesus, I tell you, it's difficult. Sometimes being a pastor is difficult. Thank God for that. You know that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, it says, the love of God constrains me. Sometimes I'm walking one fist behind my back. Please, don't try me. Please, don't try me. Oh, my gosh. Lord, have mercy. May God deliver us into love in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Just stand to your feet right now. I just want to close off right now. And just close your eyes. Just draw an imaginary line around yourself right now. Just you and God. Just you and God. And just for the next couple of minutes, just receive a fresh baptism of love. Receive a fresh one. Something beautiful from God attracted you into his presence. Something has kept you from stumbling along the way, from falling away through offense or through ignorance or through any other calamity of life. The Bible says that the storms of life come and go, but somehow you've stayed the course. Something on the inside of you, that's something, that's the rooting and the grounding in love. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless your holy name today. We celebrate your love. We celebrate your love, Jesus. We celebrate your love. Emotions can come and go. Things can come and go. Even great fortunes can come and go. But Lord, your love has held us. You have held us. The Bible says, I have carved you into the palm of my very hand, and you are mine. Love that scripture. When you pass through raging waters in the sea, you shall not drown. And the storms of life come against you. You've been founded on the rock. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate your love, Father, heart to heart this morning. We receive and celebrate your love. Thank you, Jesus, my God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Some of us, we've struggled to make it, even getting through sometimes from week to week, where you don't know whether what's coming in will be sufficient. You don't know whether you'd make ends meet, but somehow God has met you there. The love of God has lifted you and sustained you. For others, you've been lifted up and plucked out from where you were, to the extent that if 5 years ago somebody had prophesied it to you that you'd be here under the sound of my voice this morning, you'd have thought it was impossible. Why would God? How could God? How this? How that? How the other? But God has planted you, rooted and grounded in love, planted in the house of their God. They shall go from strength to strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For some, you've been through betrayal, all kinds of agony, unspeakable things, unspeakable pain, unspeakable brokenness. But yet God has met you there. The love of God has sustained you there. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we celebrate your love, Lord. We celebrate your love, Jesus. Rooted and grounded in love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Great is your faith.